Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
Gwynn and Chris, Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Ello, Matt Scraby, little Chris versus the fans headed your way here shortly. How has the game been going, gentlemen?
Chris?
Chris versus the fans. I think I've been doing well.
Yeah.
Maybe a little too well lately.
Yeah. So a little too well.
Scraby's upset.
Yeah.
Listeners are, upset, but, what can I tell you? You got to take your shot. And we will have another round of it here. I did have a quick note. Did you see this is a fun one for Jesse Agler to not luckily have to deal with, Tony? Also, and yourself. The Seattle Mariners yesterday beat the Tigers 3-2. Winning pitcher was right-hander Luis Castillo, the all-star right-hander. Friday, the Mariners are playing again after a day off today. And they're taking on, I believe, the Giants Friday. Starting pitcher, Luis Castillo. Not the same Luis Castillo. The Mariners have two guys with the exact same name, Tony. How do you like this? They've just signed a new Luis Castillo.
They added one.
To the one that they already had. Apparently, the Mariners also have a young catcher in the minors named Julio Rodriguez. The same name as their star center fielder.
This is going to get confusing.
It's going to get very confusing if you're the Mariners broadcast team.
I guess they figured they had so much success with the first one, they try the same name again, look for the same result.
Maybe they can get lucky. Maybe Scraby will get lucky and stump me today on Chris versus the fans. Let's go.
If you had one shot, one opportunity to take down the human almanac himself,
howdy do.
Now is your time.
Listen to me, this guy is dangerous.
Now is your opportunity to win a prize.
Well, I hope you know Gen 4.
Chris versus the fans starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
Tony, this is really off topic, but can you please send me your flight information for when you fly from Chicago to Sacramento so I can track your flight? Thank you very much. I do that with Chris.
Don't you find this weird?
He complained yesterday about it.
I will not be doing such a thing.
Good.
I don't want you stalking my flight.
No kidding. Okay. I don't like when he does it to me either.
I'll just have to look up the route and find the plane and find everything. So
you do that. If you have to do something that wacky,
you're going to have to be left to your own devices.
Well, Chris was very offended that I did this the other day.
I feel self-conscious sitting aboard the plane that you're watching where it's going.
I'm going to send Chris a picture next time with me just staring at the map.
You're weird. But we
already
knew
all that. Right. If you win today, you will be qualified for our grand prize, 2 sold-out tickets to the When We Were Young Festival in Las Vegas on October 18th, featuring Blink-182, Panic at the Disco, The Offspring, and more. Tickets for day 2 on sale now at whenweweyoungfestival.com. The rules, you have to make it through 3 questions. Each question will get more difficult. If you get the question right, you move on. If you get the question wrong and Chris gets it right, you're eliminated. But if Chris gets it wrong, then you move on to the next question or you win. If you're a first-time player! Ooh, please let us know.
Long. Too long.
It's okay. Please let us know before you get into the first question. You'll get that question for free today. All right. Let's get our first contestant today. And I'm going to go with a long, long time Scrabinator and Gwyn and Chrisser. Bernice is with us here.
On hey,
Bernice. Hi, Bernice.
Oh, my God. How are you guys? It's
Hello,
been like
Bernice.
A minute since I talked to you, huh?
I know. It's been a while, Bernice.
It has been a while.
I know. Right. I miss talking to you guys.
Well, you should call more.
I try.
Or Scraby can let you in more. He likes to block people.
I would
call
never
anytime,
block
so.
Bernice, ever.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. All right, Bernice. Let's get to the first question here. Which Padre player got a 9-year extension yesterday?
Jackson Merrill.
Hey, Bernice is on the board.
There
Jackson
we go.
Merrill.
Very good.
Question number two.
Bernice has great energy.
Oh, yeah.
Which player was the first to take the walk of shame in Sacramento? The walk of shame being the walk to the outfield. Oh, it's really the walk through the outfield to use the restroom.
Oh, shoot.
Thank you for saying that word.
Yeah, it's very good, Bernice.
Yeah. I knew I was going to be rusty at this today, you guys. It's been a while. Oh, my God. In Sacramento? I don't even know who they were playing.
You can do. You can say you don't know because Chris
may not know.
May not know either. But I think he does know.
I have a guess. I thought it was Seiya Suzuki of the Cubs, but I could be wrong.
Chris, how dare you eliminate Bernice? I'm sorry, Bernice.
She
I'm
wouldn't
really
respect
sorry.
Me if I, you know, didn't try my hardest.
Thank you for calling.
Thanks, Bernice.
We'll talk
always
to you
good
soon.
To talk
Thank
to you.
Bernice.
We'll see you soon.
All right. Now we move on to our next contestant, Deborah. Hello, Deborah.
Hi, Deborah.
Hi.
Hello.
First time player.
First time.
First time player.
Love it.
Woo-hoo. Okay, we got to get it together, guys. That wasn't very good.
Way off.
I don't know what's
there.
Going on. Here we go. Let's go. Question number two. Which pitcher retired this week after 13 MLB seasons?
Tough one.
Steve, I think he plays for the Dodgers. Kershaw?
Clayton Kershaw.
Kershaw?
Stay there, Deborah.
Ah, man. Now what are you, how much are you going to yell at me if I get this one right?
A lot.
Sorry, Deborah. He did play for the Dodgers. Lance Lynn retired. Sorry, Deborah.
Lance Lynn.
It's in my soul. I have to answer correctly if I do know the answer.
I mean, remember how much you hurt that
yes,
guy's feelings
I
last
do.
Saturday?
Oh, the guy was heartbroken.
I can't remember his name. But I wish I could because
he's probably more heartbroken by that you can't.
Was it Ryan?
Yeah.
Okay.
Just say it was him.
Okay.
I don't know.
I'm sorry, Deborah. All right.
Sorry, Deborah.
Here we go. Next contestant.
Test Deborah.
Tom. Thomas. I almost said Tomas, but then I combined the English word and the Spanish word. Thomas is who we have on the line.
Thomas, welcome to the show,
my friend. Guys.
Good.
Very good, Thomas.
It's going
Very
well.
Good.
Here we go. First question. What is the name of the stadium the Twins play in?
Is that Target Field?
Correct.
Well it done, is indeed Thomas. Target Field.
That was not
question.
Sorry, but that was not a gimme. I thought that was a good get.
Okay.
Good get by you, Thomas. Very good.
All right. Just
question
buttering him up
two.
To eliminate him, huh?
How many games was Jerickson Profar suspended for?
Boy.
80 games.
80 games.
80 games. That gets you to round number three.
Well done.
Tony, hold on one second. Or ask the second question of number... Okay, wait, hold on. I have an update for you. Sorry.
What are you doing over there?
I had to update a question because it was written the other day.
Oh.
Okay, Tony, you're ready.
Coming into today, which player leads baseball in home runs?
Is it Aaron Judge?
Aaron Judge.
All rise.
Stay there.
It is not Aaron Judge.
Eugenio Suarez?
Eugenio.
Sorry, Thomas.
Chris.
Good game. This
like,
is terrible.
I fill up these questions, and then immediately they're gone. Just immediately.
You know, I don't want to...
Immediately.
...spend the pot at all, so we'll need our next contestant there, Scrape.
Okay. We'll go with... Who are we going to go with? We're going to go with... Jack. Hello, Jack.
Jack, welcome to the show, my friend.
By the way, sniffling into the microphone is no better than me coughing into the microphone or breathing.
Who sniffled?
You did. You just took a long sniffle.
No, I did not.
Okay.
That was...
Sounded like it.
That's why I think Tony was breathing.
Nope. Pretty sure it was your sniffle.
Nope. I did not sniffle.
Hold up. Don't blame me. I didn't do anything.
Yeah, I did not sniffle.
Tony in on this. I heard a sniffle.
Anyway, Jack, welcome to the show.
Yeah,
sorry.
Jack. Yeah, don't bother our...
Thanks, guys.
Here we go.
He's like, I'm just here to play.
Yeah, Jack just wants to play. Yeah, let him play.
Jack, who is the commissioner of MLB?
Rob Manfred.
Ah, no, he did not pronounce it correctly.
Rob Manfred.
That's how you do it.
Question number two. Which Nationals pitcher holds the record for most strikeouts in organization history?
Is it Scherzer?
What was Scherzer?
Scherzer!
Stay there.
Well, again, this is where I get, you know, troubled. Because I don't know if Scraby just means the Washington Nationals, but the way the question was asked was organization history, which would include the Montreal Expos. And I don't know if they have the guy. I'll just say Strasburg to get it out of the way.
Steven Strasburg.
Strasburg, ready to go.
Sorry about that, Jack.
All right, we have to go to tiebreaker now.
Do we, though? Oh, because we don't have enough questions, so yeah. Yeah, I guess we do. Tiebreaker.
All right, here we have a player up. Joe Ryan, the pitcher for the Twins.
All right.
Okay. No fighting from you guys, so I'm just going to take it and move forward. Let's go with Scott. Hello, Scott.
How are we doing?
Hey, Scott.
Pretty good. You know how to play
tiebreaker? Well, Scott.
I'm ready.
Okay, he's ready. I'm gonna ask Chris a question. He's gonna give me a number answer, and then you're gonna guess whether or not the actual answer is higher or lower than what Chris guessed. All right, Chris.
Yes.
How many? Sorry, I'm looking for a good number. How many games has he started in his career?
Joe Ryan. How many games has he started? And for the Twins, or just overall? Overall, how many years has he played?
Five.
5 years for Joe Ryan. 110.
110. Scott, is the actual answer higher or lower?
Lower.
Lower. Lower. You are correct.
We got a winner.
Nice job.
Scott's a happy guy.
Joe Ryan has started, not including today, 85 games in his career.
Right.
So he only started five his first year.
That's what cost me. Yeah. And also the fact that his fifth year, he's only started one. See, I was factoring a full fifth season.
Your full five seasons?
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's what threw me off. But very good. Scott, you were able to ferret out that information. And
I love it when Chris says ferret.
You get the chance to go to Las Vegas.
Stay there, Scott.
Good on you.
All right. Let's get to – wait. Do we go to break or do we –
Oh no.
We're in no man's land.
We are in no man's land.
I think we have to hang on.
You know, I've had listeners tell me that they don't like when we talk about the clock, but That's our show.
I don't blame them for not liking it. It's not great radio, but we are supposed to break at a certain time every day, every hour. And if we don't, then we have a backup plan.
Yes.
And the backup plan entails us chit-chatting for another 4 minutes. So here's one.
What you got, Chris?
I got one for you. Who do you think NBA executives are comparing Cooper Flagg to? There are two great NBA players. One's in the Hall of Fame. One is going to be in the Hall of Fame. And very recognizable names. One's been a Finals MVP. The other has not been a Finals MVP only because his teammate took it away every time.
I already know the answer, so I won't say.
Okay, you do. I think it's interesting. Cooper Flagg, this is pretty high praise for a young player, Tony. I don't know if you see the same thing they do. They're comparing him to either Scottie Pippen or Kawhi Leonard. Now, those are getting way up there. Like, I think Scottie Pippen might be the best on-ball, man-on-man defender because of his length and athleticism I've ever seen. And we already know about Kawhi's clutch performances and defense and long arms. Yeah. Is Cooper Flagg, I mean, what are you seeing in Cooper Flagg? I know you love him, but that's a lot.
I think offensively, as of at the if you were asking me about Kawhi Leonard and who's the other one you named?
Pippen,
Kawhi Leonard
and
Scottie at the same age, I'd say Cooper Flagg is miles ahead offensively of where Kawhi was at the same stage.
Yeah, you're right.
And where Scottie Pippen was at the same stage. That being said, I don't think Cooper Flagg is close to the defender that those two were at the same point in time.
Yeah.
And so, I could see like the finished product of Cooper Flagg being on the line of the finished product of what we saw from Kawhi Leonard and Scottie Pippen, like what where they ended up. I could see Cooper Flagg being compared to those guys for sure. But I think they are polar opposites in some ways. Looking at where Scottie Pippen was and Kawhi Leonard was at the same age.
That's true, because Scottie Pippen, when he came into the league, really other than a dunk shot, was not really
was
much of an offensive threat. Yeah, and we know Kawhi couldn't make an outside shot, really, when he was with the Aztecs. They used to lay off him and play him for the drive. And then he turned into an incredible shooter. Scottie Pippen also turned into a pretty darn good offensive player himself.
100%. 100%.
So, it's weird to compare a college athlete now to an NBA Hall of Fame type player because there's just no, there are such different places in their career. I'm not good at judging this stuff. I wonder, what do you think of Jani Broome, the Auburn center? He's 6'10". Is he big enough, strong enough, athletic enough to make a difference in the NBA, number one, Tony? Number two, why would you even pick a guy like that when he's basically a post player, and there are no post players in the NBA anymore?
Good question. I think there's some post players. I just think that if you're going to be a post player, you have to be extremely efficient. You know, you got to be of the jokers of the world, shoot a high percentage. I think the NBA is going to move towards wanting guys like that, because it gives the league some diversity. Part of the issue for some is that they're shooting a lot. Everybody's shooting threes. Well, what makes Gilgeous Alexander so fun to watch? What makes some of the main guys who are in the league is that they have a variety in their game.
Yeah.
They can score at all three levels. So I think a guy like that can thrive. I think he's going to obviously have to develop his jump shot from beyond the arc and from a little ways out. But I think the more diversity you have, I think the NBA is going to start moving towards that. All right, we've done our job here. Let's get to break. More Gwen and Chris on the other side. Here's some traffic.
Man, when was the last time you felt unstoppable? Low testosterone could be draining your energy, strength, and sex drive. At Beaumont Health and Wellness, we help men reclaim their power with hormone replacement therapy, weight loss, and IV hydration. Get peak performance with our $147 hormone replacement starter kit, including a private consultation, precision blood work, and a free B12 shot to fire up your system. Beaumont Health and Wellness. Age is just a number. Desire is forever. Call 913-261-9855 or book now at BeaumontHealthKS.com.
StreetEasy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knick's Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knick's, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knick's Menswear, your friend in style.
Some people play by the rules, but the real game changers break them. I'm Soraya, and on Rule Breakers, we're talking to the risk takers, the rebels, and the ones rewriting the playbook. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Matt Scraby's alongside here at the Odyssey Palace Studios. Earlier this morning, Mike Schilt was on with Ben and Woods. The manager's report, refreshed by EcoWater SoCal. Manager, probably feeling pretty good about now. 7-0. Ben and Woods had a bunch of questions for him. If you want to hear the whole interview, go to 97.3thefansd.com. But here's a bit of it. Mike Schilt talking about his young star, Jackson Merrill.
Yeah, I mean, listen, there's a lot of superlatives that I can say about Jackson, and that includes his baseball talent. You know, he's just a really put-together young man that has his head on straight, that just cares about people, cares about the organization, cares about winning, and, you know, really clearly has some real ability and desire to compete and use his ability to help us win ball games. I mean, those are traits that, you know, we talk about, and they sound easy, but they're not. To have that kind of, you know, total package, and Jackson clearly has it, and, you know, good for him, good for us, good for everybody listening that supports and you know, roots for the Padres, because he's one of these generational guys that come along that helps you know, move the needle towards greatness. And so we're excited to have him.
You know, what's interesting about that statement, Tony, was that he began by saying, Jackson has a lot of great qualities about him. And that includes his baseball. And I think what he meant by that is
talking about the baseball.
Exactly.
Start.
Wasn't talking about the baseball. We know how good he is. We see him. I've only interviewed him the one time. You get to spend a little more time, I'm sure, with him. But down at Peoria this spring, and I was immediately just struck by how beyond his years he is, and I'm sure I'm not the first to say it. I bet you everybody who visits with him probably says pretty much the same thing.
Yeah, I mean, listen, having a chance to get to know Jackson over the last year and some change, getting to know, you know, his background, his mom and his dad, who, you know, I saw at spring training, seemed like all the time. Mom's a teacher. It matches, you know, his upbringing. It matches where he comes from and what, you know, his parents kind of have obviously taught him. And all of those things, you know, have been mixed together, and this is the young man that we see before us. And yeah, a lot of it, obviously his baseball skills are at a high level, but his human skills are also, his human being skills are also at a high level, you know?
Yeah.
You know, it is not often, I shouldn't say it's not often, it's not often that a city gets to have a player in which, those things are at the forefront, and Jackson has clearly shown that in his short stint here in San Diego, and I'm sure everybody is enjoying it,
including AJ Preller, who told a really funny story that Scraby played yesterday for us on the air about the first time he went to see Jackson Merrill play, and he was during the COVID, and he got run out of town by the security officer, and. it was a very funny story. If
I
you
just imagine him with the glasses, with the mustache.
No, he was trying to be incognito, but I'm sure he was, because he probably had the mask on during COVID. AJ Preller, but he.
Anyway. Oh yeah, see, I bet you there are parts of AJ that probably enjoyed that time because he could be, you know,
a little more secretive.
You know, he could basically have a disguise while he was out, you know, looking at players. So
yeah,
you know,
that's good story. That's everything about Jackson's good right now. All right, we got the Big Five next. Gwen and Chris rolls on.
Ben and Woods on the Fan.
ESPN's Jeff Passan here on Ben and Woods.
This team.
Little Gwen and Chris, little Big Five coming your way. Do we have any things to clean up here before we head to the Big Five, gentlemen?
Just to update, Aaron Judge has gone deep. Yankees lead the D-backs 4-1. Second inning, fifth of the year for Judge, a three-run shot. NL West power.
Snakes.
Snakes. NL West power.
Snakes.
Wait, do you have the ability to just isolate you going,
I will.
Snakes.
All right, let's do one. Everybody be quiet.
Snakes.
There we go. We got a clean one. We got a clean one.
That is quite phenomenal. All right. Well, without further ado, let's get some traffic and then to the Big Five we go.
It's that time of the show when we check on the latest in sports. Only the most important topics and questions are brought to light.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
These news stories will astound and amaze you. The one, the only.
Oh my God, who the hell cares?
The Big Five starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
Join the College Madness this Monday, April 7th, and watch the championship game at Dave & Buster's in Mission Valley. Catch all the excitement on their giant screens, enjoy fantastic food and drinks, and play your favorite games in the ultimate sports atmosphere. Don't miss the big game only at Dave & Buster's. I'm telling you, that screen that was behind me during the broadcast was awesome. So it's a perfect place for you to watch the championship game. I was going to ask Chris who's playing, and I realized that we don't know yet, so thank goodness I didn't actually ask that. All right, Chris is just shaking his head. I can never tell if he's going to attack me or if he's just going to keep going with...
I like to keep you guessing.
Okay. All right, let's go to the first one.
Number five.
Now, the Padres have been incredible in pretty much every facet of the game. So, Tony, you're up first today. Both their bullpen and their base stealing and base running has been incredible. What do you think is more sustainable, the bullpen being great or the base stealing being like it is right now?
Base stealing, I don't think any of it is sustainable at the rate that it is. I will say base running, if we're saying
okay,
that is the thing that can be most sustainable over the course of the season. The steals, I imagine, as we get deeper into the season, will start to slow down. We don't have young rabbits out there like maybe the Reds do, who could probably keep it up the whole year, and you know, just because of their youth. I don't think that'll be the case. We're gonna pick our spots as they have, but the base running in terms of first to thirds and first of ball and dirt, all of it inclusive, I think that's more sustainable than the pace that bullpen is set to start the season.
Chris, what do you think is more sustainable, bullpen or base running?
Yeah, I don't even think it's a think. I'm pretty sure I know, because there's no way the bullpen's going to have a 0.7 or something ERA the
you
whole
don't know
season.
That.
I do. I really do. I mean, you know. So the base.
You feel pretty confident.
Yeah, I feel pretty confident they won't. But I know the base running can continue because that's. I think it's like in football when they say, or basketball, and they say, you know, on the road, sometimes you don't shoot as well, but defense always travels. I always feel like base running can travel and be good anywhere. So they've been really smart, and, you know, things are working out. And here's the other thing. They've had guys thrown out on the bases this year. It hasn't been perfect, but in a lot of ways, that's almost made it better because I know that they're pushing it and they're putting the pressure on other teams to make great plays to stop their base running. So I hope it continues, and I think it will.
All right. Number four. The Las Vegas Raiders are reportedly signing quarterback Geno Smith to a two-year contract extension worth $85.5 million with $66.5 million guaranteed, multiple sources tell Jordan Schultz, the guy who got in a fight with Ian Rappaport at the Starbucks. This news comes after
he did not get into a fight.
Okay, they got into verbal spar. This news comes after they traded for Smith from the Seahawks, reuniting him with head coach Pete Carroll, and Smith has publicly credited Carroll with revitalizing his career, citing the coach's influence in instilling the self-confidence necessary for his success as the Seahawks starting quarterback. Chris, is Geno Smith still a playoff-caliber quarterback?
Was he ever one? I mean, he got to the number 7 seed a couple years ago. Last year, he didn't get there. I don't find Geno Smith to be in the upper echelon of NFL quarterbacks, no. I find him to be in the, just ahead of the middle of the pack.
So, I think he's between
12 and 18 or something. So I think I could easily find 11 guys better than him. So, no, I don't really think he's I guess he's playoff level. He got there, but he doesn't scare me as a guy who can do it himself. I don't know if this is the greatest call ever by the Raiders, but it's a decent placeholder while the rest of the team around him gets better.
Tony, do you think Geno Smith is still a playoff caliber quarterback?
Yeah, I think so. I think he's proven that he's a quarterback that can get his team to the playoffs. Now, beyond that, I don't know. I don't know if that's the case. But, yeah, I think this is – listen, the Raiders aren't in a position to draft a quarterback, or at least they don't think the quarterbacks will be there that by the time they draft, that it suffices using as high of a pick as they have. I wouldn't be surprised, though, if indeed Shador, let's say, slides to them, that they take him. Remember, Pete Carroll was the head coach of the Seattle Seahawks when they signed, what was it, Matt Flynn, and then only to draft Russell Wilson in that same draft in the second round the follow that year. So I'm not saying it's going to happen, but I could see a scenario in which it happens. But I do think Geno Smith's a playoff caliber quarterback.
All right, a quick announcement for everyone. There will be a Scraby show today at 6 p.m. We're going to do the roundtable at 5 p.m. But I have Scrabinator game information announcement. So if you would like to try and win a spot into the Odyssey Suite, I will tell you all about it on the Scraby show around 6:20. Number three. Grambling State head coach Mickey Joseph has a pretty interesting idea about how his high school could get some sort of compensation for a player leaving early. Here he is with the media talking about it.
We understand. We understand. I think the kids understand if they're here and if they're sophomores and they have a big year and a group of five or a power five approach them and they have the finances to pull them out of there and I can't match the finances, then you know what? They're going to go. That's part of it. Coach has been doing it for years. So we shouldn't get mad as coaches when these kids make decisions to take care of their family. Because like I said, I'm going to say it again. Coach has been doing it for years. But I also think there need to be a buyout. If they move up for me and go to group of five and power five, I should get kind of a compensation for that. You know, so NCAA, if you're listening to me, I need a buyout.
All right, so that's what Mickey Joseph said. I think it's a really, really good idea.
I do. I like the idea.
Tony, the question is, do you like this idea?
I do.
Good question, Scrape.
Thank you.
Stunning
question.
That is
a good question. I think the mere fact that, you know, that is the main thing Chris and I say often when the players, these athletes start to get criticized. Well, coaches do it. Nobody says anything then. This is also something that happens with coaches when they leave. That school gets a little bit of a buyout. They get something in return. I think this is going to have to be a part of the equation. Because, listen, it's a part of the equation for the coaches when they move, right? School gets compensated. I know we see some astronomical buyout prices. I mean, maybe you cap it for the athletes so that it's not a deterrent for schools that want to bring them there. But I think it's a good idea. I really do.
It could keep some things in check. Chris, what do you think about this idea of a buyout?
I love it, which is probably, and it makes perfect sense, which is definitely why it won't happen. Because the NCAA is just so stupid. I mean, you know, you can give them the best idea 100%. Of all time, and they'll look at you and go, huh?
They'll be like, oh, well, yeah. We got a better idea.
There'll be 5,000 reasons why they can't do it. I think it's a, you know, yeah. I mean, give them something. Schools are the ones that develop a lot of these players. It'd be nice.
I agree.
And I'm sure the rich schools could easily afford another million on top of the million they're giving the kids.
It would also be like, do we really want this player?
Well, it also might help the team losing the player pile up a little money to be able to do some bidding
of
their own.
So they can get the next one.
Yeah,
no kidding.
Number two.
Awful announcing recently asked people to determine the best broadcast booth in sports, and CBS's lead NCAA tournament broadcast team of Ian Eagle, Bill Rafferty, and Grant Hill won the top prize. The trio of college basketball announcers overcame the NFL on Fox duo of Joe Davis and Greg Olson in a final vote by a margin of 61-39%. After already beating ESPN's Monday Night Football tandem of Joe Buck and Troy Aikman 52-48%, the CBS team was the only non-NFL broadcast booth to make it that far in Awful Announcing's tournament. So, Chris, who's your favorite national broadcast team in sports?
Jim Nantz and Tony Romo, I think, still stay on top for me. Romo's dipped a little, but I really enjoy. And Buck and Aikman are right there because Troy Aikman is underrated in his ability to inform. I learn a lot watching him. I don't hate their selection, though, because I'm so... big on how great Ian Eagle is. I think Raftery and Grant Hill are, they're not my favorite, but Ian Eagle's so good that it elevates that group.
All right. Tony, who's your favorite national broadcast team in sports?
I like Joe and Troy as my favorite.
Yeah.
But I also enjoy Ian Eagle and Bill Raftery and Grant Hill. I don't have a problem with the main top of the line crews. Like, I think they're all really good. I love Romo. I don't have a problem with all four. I would still put Joe Buck and Troy Aikman as my top, though.
Notice that Tom Brady wasn't even mentioned.
I know. I'd put it at the bottom. I'd put Tom Brady at the bottom next to Carl Ravage. Does he still do ESPN Thousands. Sunday night?
He does, but
just, sorry, Carl. Just saw.
He's losing his job this year because ESPN is out.
Yeah. Sorry, Carl, I can't.
Man, just dancing on someone's grave over there.
I'm a mean dude.
I'm a mean dude. The A's called Monday, their first game ever at Sutter Health Home Park, a sellout, but said the paid attendance was only 12,119. According to KXTV reporter Matt George, the A's gave the remaining tickets, nearly 1,300, to player family members, team executives, and other guests. So they were writing, sure, stadium was full, but giving away nearly 10% of the available seats in the ballpark makes the full house feel a little different. Tony, what is a sellout to you?
That's a trick question.
How is that a trick question?
It is, because I don't know that any sellout I've ever been to
is actually a sellout.
Like, I don't see any seats available. Like, I don't know if I've ever seen, like, no seats available. So to me, but clearly that's not the rule in order to get a sellout. So I don't actually know. I would consider a sellout every seat, standing room only.
Standing room. Okay. All right. Chris, what do you think a sellout is?
That's a good one. Chicago Stadium, in the Bulls days, and they used to have standing room tickets. So you'd have to stand and watch the games back in the early Jordan era. Actually, though, a sellout is when Scraby tells me something that Adam shouldn't know, and then I go to tell Adam.
What?
I sold you out. It's a sellout.
I was trying to think.
Real scenario, but
yeah, sorry. I was trying to think. Did I do something recently that sold Chris out? Like, I don't think I've been that diabolical as of late.
No, I'd sell you out.
Yes, you would, Chris. Yes, you would. When I was going to school in San Francisco, the Giants kept claiming sellouts, but they didn't have all of their seats filled all the time. They claimed like years worth of sellouts, and not every.
I mean,
seat
they
was
had
filled.
A record. They had a streak of consecutive games sold out.
Yeah, it was a long one, but they weren't actually sold out. Every seat was purchased, I guess, but not everyone was there. That's it for the Big Five. I'm a little disappointed.
You left it 3 minutes short.
We blew that through that thing.
Yeah, I guess bad categories today, bad topics today, guys.
World record Big Five speed today.
Yeah, why can't we do this every day?
I was about to say, Scraby wishes we could go that fast on most days.
Yep.
All right, so with that, sorry, Tony, that gives us time to ask where you're going tonight.
Yeah, we're going to dinner.
We shouldn't pry into your life, but you're in Chicago. Do you have anything exciting? Or just be general. Do you have something fun planned or no?
Not really. I'm going to go meet with an older producer back in the day when I used to do Padres POV.
I'm
going to go get some pizza at Robert's Pizza.
Al, I'm jealous. I don't even know if... I'm sure Roberts is brilliant.
Is Roberts a pizza-ish?
It came down to there are Geno's East, and I chose Roberts because Geno's East is kind of very touristy. I want to go some non-touristy spot.
Have you been to... what's the other one with the great salad dressing? Sorry, I shouldn't have brought it up. I went with Darren Wong when we were there for San Diego State one time, and it was the deep dish pizza and the whole thing. Illuminelli's. There you go.
Illuminati's.
Illuminati's, yeah.
No, Lou Malnati's.
Lou Malnati's, right.
Illuminati is like a...
I know what you mean. Yeah. Illuminati's.
Secret group.
Anyway, that's another great one, and they have the best salad dressing of all time. It's so good that I actually sent to Illinois and had it shipped out to my house after I got home.
See, I'm sorry, this is off subject, but we brought it up. You brought it up earlier, the Cooper Flagg comparison. You had Scottie Pippen and who was the
Kawhi.
Other one? Kawhi. I think a better comparison is one that I see on ESPN right now. How similar his game is to Lamar Odom when he was in college. That to me is a more comparable guy, not necessarily Lamar's finished product, but what he was when he was at Rhode Island for that 1 year.
Lamar Odom is trying to make a comeback in his life, and for the last I've heard, he's doing a lot better and doing well.
Yeah,
from considering where he had gotten down to.
Yeah, talk about a guy who was
cheer for Lamar Odom,
right on the brink of death.
He was, without a doubt. All right, we got the happy hour, or no, we don't have a happy hour today. We do, well...
The roundtable is a part of the happy hour.
Thank you, yes. The roundtable, this morning's roundtable is... Well, he told me what to say, and I boxed it up.
Do you want me to tell you again?
The roundtable is
boxed. Wait. This is a famous quote of Chris. I'll get it done.
The roundtable is part of the happy hour today, and it is brought to you by GL Pools, the swimming pool experts trusted by thousands of San Diegans since 2006. Baseball is back. So is swim season. Call now, mention the word radio, and you'll get a free month of pool service. Yes, the roundtable with Ben and I and Woodsy and Scraby and Braden and Paul, everybody this morning talking nothing but Padres for a commercial-free hour. And then after that, Scraby's back with the Chronicles. I think I say goodbye today. No, Tony says goodbye today.
Well, in that case, enjoy your night.
Well done.
Scraby Chronicles follows the Roundtable. Take care.
See you, T.